working for a day. To my advisors I say, within my kingdom is found, there's too much sadness around. Let music come to our aid. Command that music be made. Let all the people parade. This shall be my decree. Let the people sing, sing like anything, any sort of song they choose. Let the people sing, let the welkin ring, anything to chill their blues. Find a merry song to cheer them, tell them that I long to hear them. When things all go wrong, you will find a song, welcome as a breath of spring. Therefore let the people
sing, the first thing out of people's mouths tends to be, please shut up. I try, I fail. Morning, welcome. That was Billy Scott Comber with the vocal chorus there of Let the People Sing from Jack Payne and his orchestra. And a very warm welcome to Beagley at Night with me, RB, and for the next couple of hours, it's just you and I and a bag full of records and all the usual things in all the usual places. I've sort of been clearing out our what I still refer to as our second bedroom, although we actually turned it into an office, I think, about 14, 15 years ago. But my wife and I both retired, I think officially about 4 years ago. So now we're just doing the things that we like doing, like Angel Radio and, trying to write a second book and things like that. So I sort of decided that I was going to turn the office back into the second bedroom, so I have been sorting out all of the stuff in the office / second bedroom, deciding what needs to be thrown out and what can be kept so that I can basically get rid of it all. And I came across a pile of records, which was in fact my father's collection of records, and of course my mother's when she was alive. And it was sort of interesting. I started to play some songs from it, and it just brought back so many memories, like this one. This is one of my favorite songs from my mother. She wasn't a particularly ardent fan of Frank Sinatra. She just liked his voice, but she really did like this song.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams, and life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive thought of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
Really was one of my mother's favorite albums, and the album's called This Is Sinatra, and went back to 1955, and it had a lot of good songs on it as well. And by the time I got my hands on it, the cover was half gone. It's through a lot of use. Various bits have been ripped off and tea and goodness knows what else spilt on it and stuff, but the album still plays well even today. As for my father, well, I think that probably this album probably is the best reflection of what he liked. It's a song from Lena Horne, and it's just absolutely brilliant. It's called Softly As I Leave You. Lena Horne and Softly As I Leave You. What I think is interesting about my parents' record collection is that there just seems to be like one record from each singer. There's not sort of like album upon album upon album. It's one Frank Sinatra album, one Lena Horne album, one Bing Crosby album, which is one of my favorite albums. I learned all the words to all of the songs. It used to be called Bing Sings 33 All-Time Great Songs. I think he got renamed somewhere along the way. But since it's now time for Bing and his singing, I thought I'd play a few tracks for you. And please do feel free to join in.
As the blackbird is blackbird in the spring, 'neath the willow tree, sandpiped, I heard him sing, sing of Aurelie. And so let us part. And when I grow too old to dream, that kiss will live in my heart.
As the album's called Join Bing and Sing Along, although as I said, I think when we had the album, it was called Bing's 33 All-Time Greats. But I know the words to every song on the album. Used to sing along with them. Even when the record used to jump, I used to know exactly where the jumps were and jump with it. Absolutely amazing. Sort of taking a look at my parents' record collection. I'll play a few more a little bit later on, all being well. Do not fret, I'm not throwing it out or anything like that. It's far too precious. But it's just a very interesting reflection of how life was back in, the late 50s and the early 60s. All right, it's time to go off to Holger's house. And if you want to follow along with the lyrics to this song, and if you do have access to Facebook, I strongly suggest you do, because they're rather wonderful. Just go to Friends of Angel Radio, and I just posted a link to the lyrics, which is, again, courtesy of Holger. Here we go.
Ich bin so einsam und so viel alleine. Ich such eine Freundin und ich finde keine. Wie ich's auch versuchte, immer ging's daneben. Das ist doch kein Leben für einen Mann wie mich. Darum wende ich mich an Sie, weil Sie mir so sympathisch sind. Können Sie mir denn nicht raten, wie ich eine find? Haben Sie nicht, haben Sie nicht, haben Sie nicht eine Braut für mich?
Ja, 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 wir haben verschiedene Sachen.
Eine, die mir gefällt mit nem großen Haufen Geld.
Ja, 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 das haben wir alles da.
Sie muss schick sein,
ja, ja, ja.
Nicht zu dick sein,
nein, nein, nein.
Mit viel Zaster,
ja, ja, ja.
Keine Laster,
nein, nein, nein.
Schön solide,
ja, ja, ja.
Nicht so müde,
nein, nein, nein.
Kurz und klein, sie muss ein Engel sein. Ja, haben Sie nicht, haben Sie nicht, haben Sie nicht eine Braut für mich. Haben Sie nicht, haben Sie nicht eine Braut für mich. Haben Sie nicht eine Braut für mich? Ich ging zum Vermittler, klopfte an bescheiden, legte gleich 3 Mark hin, war nicht zu vermeiden. Er zeigt mir ein Album mit sehr vielen Bildern, Freunde nicht zu schildern, was ich darin sah. Große, kleine, dicke, dünne, alte, junge, alles drin, aber keine konnte ich finden, die nach meinem Sinn. Ja, haben Sie nicht, haben Sie nicht, haben Sie nicht eine Braut für mich?
Ja, 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 wir haben verschiedenes da.
Eine, die mir gefällt mit nem großen Haufen Geld.
Ja, 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 das haben wir alles da.
Sie muss schick sein,
ja, ja, ja.
Nicht zu dick sein,
nein, nein, nein.
Mit viel Zaster,
ja, ja, ja.
Und keine Laster,
nein, nein, nein.
Schön solide,
ja, ja, ja.
Nicht so müde,
nein, nein, nein.
Kurz und klein, sie muss ein Engel sein. Ja, haben Sie nicht,
haben Sie nicht, haben Sie nicht eine Braut für mich.
Ja, haben Sie nicht eine Braut für mich. Haben Sie nicht eine Braut für mich.
Boom. Billy Bulan and a song called Hamsanish Ne Braut For Mish, which is Don't You Have A Bride For Me. And it started off there, don't you have a bride for me. And then the first verse was, oh, I'm so lonely and so often alone, I'm looking for a girlfriend and I'm not finding any. No matter how I've tried, it's always gone wrong. Hey, that's no life for a man like me. That's why I'm turning to you, because you're so friendly to me. Can't you advise me as to how I find one? And then again, don't you have a bride for me? And the various answers are yes. Okay, I would like one with a big pile of money. And they say, yes, 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 we got that. And another one turns around and says, with lots of dough. And yes, 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 nice and reliable, not too dull. A very wonderful song, Olga, and very much up to your standards of keeping us so happy, just as we change into the midnight hour here in the UK. It's a little bit later in Germany, of course, so time for you to go up to the stairs to Bedfordshire. But thank you so much for that. I'm just reading the rest of these words here. Long story short, she has to be an angel. Yes, don't you have a bride for me. I went to the matchmaker, knocked meekly, immediately forked over 3 marks. It was unavoidable. He showed me an album with a whole lot of pictures. Friends, it's impossible to describe what I saw in there. I think I'm going to post these lyrics on the Friends of Angel Radio page on Facebook, so you can have a read through them, because they are certainly worthwhile. Holger, again, my thanks, and we look forward to another song from Holger, hopefully around about the same time next week.
Bunny, bunny, you're so funny with your twitching nose.
Bunny, 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 you're so funny from your head to your toes.
Bunny, 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 your ears are funny, they're too big for you.
Bunny, 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 though you're funny, everyone loves you.
Oh, you pretty bunny, may I come near? Can I hold you and touch your ear? Oh, you pretty bunny, I love you so. Stay with me, oh, please don't go.
Bunny, 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 you're so funny with your twitching nose.
Bunny, 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 you're so funny from your head to your toes.
Hippity hop, hop, hippity hop, hop, you must go your way. Hippity hop, hop, hippity hop, hop, hip, hip, hop, good day.
Well, I know it's an Easter song, but it's rather fun, isn't it? It was from the Golden Orchestra, and it was called Bunny, Bunny, Bunny. And I have to give credit where credit is due. DAB Dave sent that to me, and I just enjoyed it so much, and I couldn't wait until next Easter to play it, so that's why you heard it this week. So, Dave, thank you for that. So far, everybody's contributed music to this program, with the exception of me, and you're going to have to wait a little while longer, because here is another one, as suggested by DAB. Be Dave.
I come down from Butte, Montana, for a little change of scene, and I stopped a day in Santa Fe, where I met a pretty queen. Oh, hair of gold, eyes of blue, lips like cherry wine, the prettiest gal I ever knew, and I'm gonna make her mine.
I'll make her mine.
Planned to leave on Monday, but she held me kinda tight, so I held the ground and hung around, and I left on Friday night.
Oh, hair of gold, eyes of blue, lips like cherry wine, the prettiest gal I ever knew, and I'm gonna make her mine.
He was kind of blue and lonely, so he took his horse and pack, and on Sunday morn was up and gone, head south and riding back.
Oh, hair of gold,
boy,
eyes of blue,
boy,
lips like cherry wine,
the prettiest
prettiest gal that I ever knew, and I'm gonna make her mine.
At the gate I found you waiting.
I was happy as could be.
Then I told you that I loved you true, and you said that you loved me.
Oh, hair of gold, eyes of blue, lips like cherry wine. The prettiest gal I ever knew, and I'm gonna make her mine.
So the two of us were married, and the colors turned out right. Little boy blue and Goldilocks too, it's sure a pretty sight.
Oh, hair of gold,
eyes of blue,
lips like cherry wine. The prettiest gal I ever knew,
and I'm gonna make you mine, and I'm gonna make you mine.
Very nice too. Gordon McRae with the Starlighters and Hair of Gold, Eyes of Blue. Sounds a bit like me.
You're adorable, sweet as can be. You're adorable, a dream boy to me. You're all that I hoped my love would ever be. When I hold your charms, your mind, you are so divine, my adorable one. You must have come from heaven, because when kissed once or twice, and soon you'll be mine alone, you adorable one.
Adorable, adorable one.
You're so lovable, so warm, so nice, you're excitable. When kissed once or twice, and soon you'll be mine alone, you adorable one.
The adorable Fontaine sisters with Adorable here on Angel Radio. I want to say a warm hello to Jean in Didcot. Hope you're well, Jean. She has chosen this week's Beagle's Big Three. And way back when we used to do an album of the week, Jean actually did choose an album of the week. And the album was Matt Monro Sings Hoagie Carmichael. And some really nice songs, of course, from that album were played. And this week in the Beagle's Big Three, you will not be surprised to learn that Gene has chosen three Matt Monro songs, and they're all terrific.
Maybe it happens this way. Maybe we really belong together. But after all, how little we know. Maybe it's just for a day. Love is as changeable as the weather. And after all, how little we know. Who knows why an April breeze never remains? Why stars in the trees hide when it rains. Love comes along, casting a spell. Will it sing you a song? Will it say a farewell? Who can tell? Maybe you're meant to be mine. Maybe I'm only supposed to stay in your arms a while, as others have done. Is this what I've waited for? Am I the one? Oh, I hope in my heart that it's so. In spite of how little we know, where in the world will I find another shoulder to cry on now you're gone? Where in the world will I find another dream to get by on now you're gone? Where in the world will I find love when there's no love, there's no future around the bend? No love, no rainbow's end, no pot of gold, my friend. Where in the world will I find another heart to rely on now you've gone? Find another heart to rely on now you're gone. Now you're gone. The wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Live free, and beauty surrounds you. The world still astounds you. It's time you look at a star. Stay free,
there's a roaring tide, so there's no need to hide. Born free, and life is worth living, but only worth living 'cause you're born free.
Beautiful songs from Matt Monro, as chosen for Beagle's Big Three this week by Gene N. Didcot, and it was, of course, Matt Monro. And we started off with How Little We Know, we ended up with Born Free, and right in the middle there with George Martin and his orchestra, Matt Monro, and Where in the World. Gene, thank you so much. I really did enjoy that selection, and lovely to hear from you again. And if you would like to be the purveyor of next week's Beagle's Big Three, then all you got to do is drop me an email, roy@angelradio.uk, and let me know the artist. And if you want to choose the three songs, as most people do, please feel free to do so. If you want me to choose them, very happy to do that as well. And if you don't have access to email, then you can give the lovely people, the receptionists, a call during normal office hours, 0800 014 1955, and ask them if they would just pass your message on to me over here by email, and I feel sure they will be very happy to do it. And I say during normal office hours because that means then you get to talk to one of our lovely receptionists, but I guess you could do it now and leave a message on the phone. Entirely up to you. Whatever you think, send it through and be very happy to play it. Gene, my thanks as always. You're listening to Beagle at Night with me, RB. Time now for this week's edition of Tell Me a Story.
I Wonder How She Slept Last Night by Judy Gardner, read by Hannah Gordon.
Now listen, Leonora said. You're going to be perfectly all right. You've got your very own room, your very own things all around you, and if you want anything, just ask the housekeeper. Suppose it's in the middle of the night. But you're not likely to want anything in the middle of the night, are you? I might. Well, you certainly don't normally. Mother and daughter were standing face to face under the centre light that was now adorned by the old familiar lampshade. The room was crammed with all the old familiar things that it had taken Leonora 5 consecutive car trips to convey from the old home to the new one. But it was going to be far better for the old girl to live in one cosy room in a place that catered specially for the elderly. No more cooking or worrying about shopping, she said, smiling briskly at the bowed white head. And tomorrow the man's coming to fix your television, isn't he? Yes, which will be nice. And then Ben and I will pop over the day after to see how you're getting on. Yes. That'll be Sunday. Yes. Leonora picked up her handbag and went towards the door. So, don't leave me. The words burst out, quiet but very desperate. Darling, I've got to. Affection and a slight hint of weary exasperation. I've got to go home and cook Ben's supper, haven't I? Yes. Well, then. Leonora's mother took a few slippered steps towards her, hands outstretched. Leonora strode over to her, hugged her, and planted a kiss on her forehead. She ignored the tears that glimmered. Good night. Sleep tight. Be a good girl now. Yes. The door clicked behind her, and it was like leaving a small child at boarding school for the first time. Ben, I'm so tired I could die. Well, you've had a pretty full week. Pork chops for supper, a packet of frozen peas, and the remains of last night's potatoes fried up. No garnishing, not even the table mats. Think she'll settle in okay? God knows. I've done my best. Old folks could help themselves more. Still, perhaps where she's gone, they all help each other more. Perhaps. Any sauce, is there? It's a bit on the dry side. No, sorry. They ate in silence. For Pete's sake, Leonora said suddenly. Other old girls settle down all right, don't they? I mean, it's bound to take time, but once she makes friends with some of the others... When are you going to see her again? We're both going to see her on Sunday. That'll give her all of tomorrow to gather herself together and to rest up a bit. They finished the pork chops. Is there any pud? Sorry, no. Just biscuits and cheese. So there she sat, in her old armchair, with her feet close together and her hands gripping the arms. The room was warm and pleasantly reassuring, with the curtains drawn and the bedside lamp illuminating the dear old photos and little silver ornaments. Everything she loved was around her. Leonora and Ben would be coming on Sunday, and the people here seemed very nice. There was nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. Except the strangeness of it all. The soft burble of television coming from other alien rooms. The subdued hum of a different central heating system. The distant closing of an unknown door. She sat listening, alert and motionless, like a very small creature in a very large jungle. When someone tapped on her door, she started convulsively. Coming to supper, dear? It was the housekeeper. No, thank you. I'm not hungry. Just come and have a cup of coffee, then. Mrs. Phillips and Mrs. Hartley and little Miss Springfield are looking forward to meeting you very much. But I don't... Come along. I'll take your arm. Miss Springfield has the room directly above yours. My key. I haven't got my key. You don't need it, dear. I've put the catch up for you. Yes, but... Irrational fears danced and jostled in her tired mind. Through the open door of the dining room, she could see silver-grey heads gathered round a polished refectory table. Oh, dear, do we have to say grace? We're not a religious foundation, the housekeeper said. Look, I've put you next to dear old Mrs. Mather. I'm sure you'll get on very well together. The end of the TV programme. The fire dying. Leonora wound her knitting round the needles, and Ben went yawning to put the car away. They locked up the house and went to bed. After all, Ben, she's 83 now. High time she stopped having to cope with everything on her own. Exactly, Leonora said in her petticoat. The age of the silicone chip is far too baffling for old people to go it alone. They climbed into bed and lay breathing toothpaste at the ceiling. I have tried. I honestly have tried to organise things so that she'll be happy. Of course you have. Once she's made some nice friends of her own age, which is another reason why she'll be so much happier where she is. Oh, you do think she'll be happy, don't you, Ben? She'll be very happy, Ben said. Now stop worrying about her and go to sleep. But although she had all her own things about her, the room smelt so different. For one thing, it still had the tang of fresh paint. Lying in the darkness, she wondered who had occupied it before her, and whether they had had their bed in the same corner. She wondered if they had died in it. Turning on her side, she resolved to think of other things. Everyone had been very nice to her at supper, and they had persuaded her to eat a little of the kedgeree after all. Miss Springfield had patted her shoulder, and the one she thought was Mrs. Hartley had shown her where the table napkins were kept in the drawer. "We all help to set the table," one of them said. "And sometimes we wipe up as well, but of course there's nothing actually laid down about it." "Well, there's no need for anything to be laid down," someone else said, "because everything here is based on goodwill and consideration for others." Oh, yes. She was going to be all right here. Her hot water bottle was warm in the small of her back, and she could hear the ticking of the little bedside clock she'd been given on her 21st birthday. She slept with her hand folded under her cheek. It was still dark when she awoke. Dark and heavily silent. Instantly, her blurred mind began fumbling with the fact that this was not home. The smell was different, and the bed was pointing the wrong way. Panic rose until she remembered that this was home now, and that she liked it here. She really did like it very much. Then another problem began to encroach on her awareness, and with a sinking heart, she was forced to acknowledge its increasing insistence. It was a problem that would not wait until morning. She wanted to go to the bathroom. She had been to the bathroom last thing before coming to bed, but now she wanted to go again. Closing her eyes, she told herself that it was nerves, that it was imagination, but her bladder's demand resisted all denial. She sat up in bed and tried to remember where the bathroom was. On the opposite side of the corridor, she thought, just a few steps to the left. Without putting on the bedside light, she crept cautiously to the door. Her dressing gown would have been hanging behind it at home, but wasn't here. There was no time to find it, and the snick of her door latch rang out like a pistol shot when, at last, her fingers found it. With hands outstretched like a sleepwalker, she crossed the corridor. She found the opposite wall and ran her hand along it until it made contact with the shape of a door. Her feet made no sound on the thick carpet. Despite her acute nervousness, she remembered that the bathroom door had a small plaque bearing its name. Her hand found it, and with a shivering sigh of relief, she slipped inside. She sat there longer than she needed to, and with eyes grown accustomed to the bright light, studied the bath with all its pulleys and handles to help people in and out of it. She was lucky to be living in a place that catered specially for old people, very lucky indeed. Striving to flush the lavatory as quietly as possible, she switched off the light and closed the door behind her. She crept back to her room, or to the place where her room should have been. But this time her searching hand encountered only smooth, cold wall, and suddenly she was in one of the most hideous nightmares that an old person's mind could ever envisage. The nightmare of being lost in the dark. 5 car trips, thought Leonora, turning in her sleep. I helped her sort through letters going back to 1935. I let her lumber me with a lot of old snaps that I don't want and she hasn't room for. I lugged all her old clothes to Oxfam, found a home for her dinner service, and helped her pack everything else. 5 carloads. And she was furious when her maidenhair fern fell out of its pot. She said it was all my fault. Under the eaves, a roosting bird fluttered uneasily. The little sound checked the even rhythm of Ben's snores for a moment. I've done all I can. My God, I wouldn't mind having a daughter like me when I'm old. Forcing herself to remain calm, she continued to search for the door, creeping along close to the wall while her hand slithered over the painted surface. At last, her old fingers found the door frame, the door itself, and then the handle. With a quivering sigh, she slipped inside and had just closed it behind her when a man's voice, hoarse with sleep, suddenly said, "Who's that? What the devil are you doing in my room?" She gasped, then gave a little cry. Her hands sought the door again, even as her ears caught the rustle of bedclothes, and then the stealthy padding of feet coming towards her. "What do you want? Who are you?" "Oh, I'm new, and I've lost my... Her hands dropped uselessly, and she leaned against the wall with a hopeless acceptance of someone awaiting execution.
Which room do you want?
Number, I think it's number... I'm new. I've forgotten. She began to weep. She could sense him near her, but when he put his hand on her arm, she recoiled with a gasp.
You must be the new woman.
Yes.
Don't blub, he said. No one's going to hurt you.
At the rough compassion in his voice, her tears became a flood that all but choked her. The depth of misery was incalculable.
You're cold, she heard him say.
His hand travelled down her arm to her shaking fingers.
Oh, you poor creature, you're so cold.
Still weeping, she allowed him to lead her across the room. The strength had gone from her legs, and she stumbled over the rug. Hardly aware of what she was doing, she crept between the sheets, still warm from his body, and like a little beaten animal, shiveringly accepted the hospitality of pillows and blankets and soft eiderdown that he carefully bunched around her.
I'm very sorry.
Her tears ran into the pillow.
Don't be.
I'm sorry I woke you. I didn't...
No, of course you didn't.
He put a large, clean handkerchief into her hand.
Just tell me what's the matter.
I want to go home.
She lay huddled while he sat on the edge of the bed, patting the eiderdown that encompassed her. The room was very dark.
We've got a big old plum tree in the garden here, he said. And in warm weather, the housekeeper lets us have tea under it.
She continued to sniff.
It's a Victoria plum, like the one we had at home when I was a boy. Blossoms beautiful in spring.
His handkerchief was very comforting. She wiped her eyes surreptitiously, waiting for the continued sound of his voice.
We're greengages, too. A marvellous apple tree that my brothers and I used to climb.
I like apple blossom, she managed to whisper.
And down beyond the plum tree in this garden, there's a big bed of irises, and you should see them in May. All colours they are, blue, yellow, bronze, and all lapping up the sunlight.
I had a lovely speckled iris called Blue Shimmer.
Tears gushed again.
Don't cry, he said gently. Just think about next year's colours. Forget about what's gone before.
Is that what you do?
Yes, all the time.
She heard him get off the bed, and a new, ignoble panic filled her.
Don't put the light on. I don't want anyone to see me the way I look now.
Well, I don't look so good either, he said. For one thing, I'm not wearing my bottom teeth.
Neither am I.
Astonishment filled her at the sound of her own confession. She felt herself blushing.
I'll be 81 next year, he said from the other side of the room.
I didn't know they had men here as well.
Oh, I'm the only one.
You weren't at supper,
she said with a hint of accusation.
That's because I generally prefer to eat in my own room.
They don't mind.
No, he said. They're really very nice here.
She dried the last of her tears.
Yes, I'm sure they are.
She heard him come back to the bed again, and sudden gratitude made her put her hand out to him. It caught the rough sleeve of a dressing gown, then big, dry, rather leathery fingers.
You're cold too, she said. And it's all my fault.
Stay where you are. There's room for both of us.
She was prepared to go, to say thank you and find her way back to her own room. Instead, she moved a little closer to the wall. Then, with her one free arm, tucked the other half of the eiderdown solicitously round his angular shape. They lay side by side.
I'm 2 years older than you are, she said. I'm 83. And I've never done anything like this before.
Longevity makes a nonsense of convention, he said comfortably. Try to sleep a little.
That's about all we can hope to do, isn't it?
It's enough.
The hateful cold of old age receded. They held hands, and she dreamed that it was April, with apple trees in blossom, and birds singing everywhere.
This week's Tell Me Story, Hannah Gordon read the short story, I Wonder How She Slept Last Night. This is the Andrew Sisters right now in Apple Blossom Time.
I'll be with you in Apple Blossom Time. I'll be with you to change your name to mine. One day in May, I'll come and say, happy the bride that the sun shines on today.
Some time.
Then what will you do?
Then I'll be with you to change your name to mine.
When will that be?
One day, maybe in May.
Then what will you do?
I'll come and say to you, dear, happy the bride that the sun shines on today.
Then what a wonderful wedding there will be one day in May. What a very, very wonderful day for you and me, dear. You will be mine when in apple blossom time.
Andrew Sisters in Apple Blossom Time. We'll have another Tell Me a Story around about the same time next week. Time now, though, for a little bit of Posh. And this week we're going to the theatre.
And now, direct from the stage of the Vanderbilt Theater in New York, the United States Steel Corporation brings you Blithe Spirit by Noel Coward. And here is Roger Pryor speaking for the Theater Guild.
Tonight, the Theater Guild brings you a happy combination of talents that kept New York absorbed for many, many months. Our play, Blithe Spirit, could be called a ghost story, but it's a ghost story with a difference. Playgoers will not soon forget the spiritualistic spoofing of Blithe Spirit, nor the actors who romp through it. Three of those actors from the original cast, Clifton Webb as Charles Condamine, Leonora Corbett as Elvira, and Mildred Natwick as Madame Arcati, recreate their original roles tonight with Kathleen Cordell featured as
Ruth. Dr. Bradman, now I'll start the music. Now I'll put out the lights. Oh, dear.
Quiet, please. Now I'll sit down with you and put my hands over yours. Is there anyone there?
I've got goose pimples.
Is there any spirit there? Is there anyone there?
Silly business, isn't it?
Now then, out there in the spirit world, is there anyone there? One rap for yes, two raps for no.
Oh, shh! Is that you, Daphne?
Oh, is your cold better, dear? Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you doing anything for it?
Good heavens.
Oh, dear, I'm afraid she's rather fretful. Now, is there anyone there who wishes to speak to anyone here? Ah, now we're getting somewhere. Oh, no, Daphne, don't tickle me. Oh, don't do that, dear. You're hurting me. Daphne!
Daphne's apparently a brat.
Be good. There's a dear child. Oh,
this is uncanny.
Now, Daphne, you say there is someone there who wishes to speak to someone here. Is it I? Is it Dr. Bradman? Is it Mrs. Bradman? Is it Mrs. Condamine? Oh, stop it. Behave yourself. Is it Mr. Condamine?
Aha!
There's someone who wishes to speak to you, Mr. Condamine.
Tell one to leave a message.
Charles, how can you be so idiotic? You'll spoil everything.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ruth. I'm sorry. You just slipped out.
Do you know anyone who has passed over recently?
No.
It might be old Mrs. Plummett, you know. She died last week.
Oh, did she? I can't imagine why old Mrs. Plummett should wish to talk to me.
Well, it's worth trying, anyhow.
Are you old Mrs. Plummett?
She was very deaf. Perhaps you'd better shout.
Are you old Mrs. Plummett? No one there at all.
Well, how disappointing, just as we were getting on so nicely.
Violet, be quiet.
Oh, I'm afraid there's nothing for it but for me to go into a trance. I had hoped to avoid it because it's so exhausting. But however, what must be, must be. Excuse me while I turn on the gramophone again.
Not always. Don't play always.
Whatever not, Charles. Don't be so absurd.
Oh, I'm afraid I must. It would be most unwise to change horses in midstream, if you know what I mean.
Have it your own way.
Does she have to moan like that?
Quiet.
If that's Daphne, she ought to have her adenoids out.
George.
Good heavens. Ruth, help her.
Madame Arcati's faint.
No, she's in a trance.
She's still, Charles.
The table
is rising into the air.
Yeah, hold the table.
I can't hold it.
Get away. I can't hold it.
Better than I'm doing.
Oh, there now. It's toppled over. Ought we to pick it up or leave it where it is?
Leave it where it is.
Who said that?
Who said what?
Somebody said, leave it where it is.
Nonsense, dear.
I heard it distinctly.
Well, nobody else did they? I never heard a sound.
Good evening, Charles.
Ventriloquism. That's what it is, ventriloquism.
What is the matter with you, Charles?
You mean to sit there solemnly and tell me that none of you heard anything at all?
I certainly didn't.
Neither did I. I wish I had. I should love to hear something.
It's difficult to know what to say after 7 years. But I suppose good evening, Charles, is as good as anything else.
Who are you?
Elvira, of course. Don't you remember your first wife, Charles?
I can't bear this another minute.
What's the matter, Charles?
What is it?
Charles, where are you going?
Get up, everybody. The entertainment's over.
What are you doing, Charles?
I'm turning on the lights. There.
Oh, Charles, how tiresome of you. Just as we were beginning to enjoy ourselves.
Never again, that's all I can say. Never, never again, as long as I live.
What on earth's the matter with you?
Nothing is the matter with me. I'm just sick of the whole business, that's all.
Did you hear anything that we didn't hear, really?
Oh, of course not. I was only pretending.
Oh, dear, look at Madame Arcati. She's still unconscious.
Oh, heaven, what are we to do with her?
Well, bring her around as soon as possible.
I think we'd better leave her alone.
Wake up, Madame Arcati, wake up. It's time to go home.
Here, go easy, old man. Don't slap her so hard.
Wake up, Madame Arcati. Little Tommy Tucker, Madame Arcati.
Well, that's that. Help me up, will you?
There you are.
Are you all right?
Certainly I am. Never felt better in my life. Of course, every time I go into a trance, my girdle hikes up, but that's all right. What happened? Was it satisfactory?
Nothing much happened, Madame Arcati, after you went off.
Oh, something happened, all right. I can feel it. No brimstone. No poltergeist, at any rate. That's a good thing. Any apparitions?
Not a thing.
Well, that's very curious. I feel as though something tremendous had taken place.
Charles pretended he heard a voice in order to frighten us.
Well, it was only a joke.
A very poor one, if I may say so. Well, I think I really must be on my way now.
Would you like anything before you go?
Oh, no, thank you. I have some Ovaltine already in the saucepan at home. It only needs hotting up. Goodbye, all.
I'll show you out.
Oh, goodbye.
It's been wonderful, Madame Arcati.
You'll come again.
Right through the hall here, Madame Arcati. Shall I light your bicycle lamp for you?
Oh, no, thanks. There's a moon.
It's very nice of you, Madame Arcati. And thank you.
You did hear a voice, didn't you?
No, of course not.
Oh, yes, you did. I can tell. You're trembling.
I didn't hear any voice.
Very well. You didn't hear any voice. But if you hear it again, let me know. Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. The original play was on the stage back in 1941 at the Morosco Theatre. Blythe Spirit starred Leonora Corbett, Mildred Natwick, and Clifton Webb, as we heard there. Unfortunately, Ruth Wood, who was due to play Ruth, could not be there. She got delayed, unfortunately, but I hope you enjoyed that. A little bit of fun and frivolity from the great Noel Coward.
Put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. The profession is overcrowded, and the struggle's pretty tough. And admitting the fact she's burning to act, that isn't quite enough. She has nice hands to give the wretched girl her due, but don't you think her bust is too developed for her age? I repeat, Mrs. Worthington, sweet Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Regarding yours, dear Mrs. Worthington, of Wednesday the 23rd, although your baby may be keen on a stage career, how can I make it clear this is not a good idea? For her to hope, dear Mrs. Worthington, is on the face of it absurd. Her personality is not in reality exciting enough, inviting enough for this particular sphere. Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. She's a bit of an ugly duckling, you must honestly confess. And the width of her seat would surely defeat her chances of success. It's a loud voice, and though it's not exactly flat, she'll need a little more than that to earn a living wage. On my knees, Mrs. Worthington. Please, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. Though they said at the School of Acting she was lovely as Peer Gynt, I'm afraid on the whole an ingenue role would emphasize her squint. She's a big girl, and though her teeth are fairly good, she's not the type I ever would be eager to engage. No more buts, Mrs. Worthington. Nuts, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage.
Well, there go a little bit more of Noel Coward there, Mrs. Worthington. You're listening to Angel Radio with me, Roy Beagley, FM on the wireless in Gosport and Havant and Portsmouth. We're also on various DAB complexes around the United Kingdom and, of course, on the internet around the world. And you can get details of both of those at angelradio.co.uk. All right, it's that time of the program where we just simply say it's day. At night.
Gee, I'm glad you came over tonight.
Yeah, it'll be nice riding with the top down.
Oh, but I've spent the afternoon fixing my hair.
Uh-oh.
How about a movie, huh?
Ah, it's too late for that. They'll be sold out of popcorn. Say, I know.
Let's take an old-fashioned walk. I'm just bursting with talk. What a tale could be told if we went for an old-fashioned walk.
Let's take a stroll through the park, down a lane where it's dark, and a heart that's controlled may relax on an old-fashioned walk. I know for a couple who seem to be miles apart.
There's nothing like walking and having a heart to heart.
I know a girl who declined, couldn't make up her mind.
She was wrapped up and sold,
coming home from
an old-fashioned walk.
Some couples go for a buggy ride when they start caring a lot.
Others will bicycle side by side way out to some romantic spot.
But when you haven't a sou, there's only one thing to do.
Let's take an old-fashioned walk. I'm just bursting with talk.
What a tale could be told
if we went for
an old-fashioned walk. Let's take a stroll through the park. Down a lane where it's dark. And the heart that's controlled
may relax on
an old-fashioned walk.
Who seem to be miles apart.
There's nothing like walking and having a heart to heart.
Walking and talking and
I know a girl who declined, couldn't make up her mind. She was wrapped up and sold,
coming home from
an old-fashioned walk. If your girl has declined
and won't make up her mind,
what you need is a heart-to-heart talk.
Take a stroll through the park,
down a lane where it's dark,
and go for an old-fashioned
touch you, fireflies gleam and glitter in my eyes. Bright and shiny is our love. And when I kiss you, I'm aglow and I sparkle head to toe. Bright and shiny a sunbeam dancing in the skies. When you hold me tight, the night's as bright as 504th of July. Since you told me you'd be mine, sparks are flying all the time. Bright and shiny is our love. Lightning flashes, shooting stars, can't outshine this love of ours. Bright and shiny is our love. Gayer than a carousel, happy as a wedding bell. Bright and shiny is our love. Love like ours is bright and gleamy as a sunbeam dancing in the skies. When you hold me tight, the night's as bright as 504th of July. Since you told me you'd be mine, sparks are flying all the time. Bright and shiny is my love for you. Mm. I don't know if it's cloudy or bright, 'cause I only have eyes for you, dear. The moon may be high, but I can't see in the sky, 'cause I only have eyes for you.
Only have eyes for you.
I don't know if we're in a garden, maybe millions of people go by, but they all disappear.
All
maybe millions of people go by, but they all disappear from view.
Play those three songs for the person that invented this segment, which is Brad. He's out in the Canadian wilds at the moment, looking a bit like Bear Grylls, I believe. But we had there Doris Day with Let's Take an Old-Fashioned Walk, singing with Frank Sinatra. And we had Bright and Shiny. And we also had I Only Have Eyes for You. And if you would like to suggest some Doris Day songs for the Day at Night sequence, well, you know the email address, roy@angelradio.uk.
Part of the family, Angel Radio.
Well, I can't believe it's 1 hour and 20 minutes into the program already. This program goes so fast. I haven't even had time to ask you yet. How are you? Hope you are well. I've been fine since I was with you last week. Of course, on Sunday, we saw the last ever Endeavour, which I know listeners in the UK will have seen already. But I was very happy with the final programme. Not that it is the final programme and that it's gone for good, but that it did actually sort of wrap up all of the storylines over the whole 9 seasons of Endeavour, quite frankly. But it was very good. And I have to say, Sean Evans and Roger Allam and Anton Lesser, I mean, absolutely brilliant actors, not only them, Sean Rigby, Abigail Thor, James Bradshaw, Sarah Vickers, and Caroline O'Neill. Just a wonderful cast for what was just a brilliant series. So well done, all. Can be absolutely proud of yourselves of that, I totally guarantee. What I liked about Endeavour as well was its nod to John Thor. It was nice that Abigail Thor was in the program as Dorothea Frazel, but they also managed to get Sheila Hancock into one of the episodes as well. Just British television at its absolute best. Really going to miss that program. I think, I'm not totally sure, but I think next weekend Grantchester is back. It's sort of like, as one goes, another one comes. But I like Grantchester as well, so I'm sort of looking forward to that. Television here in the United States, in my opinion, sucks, pretty much, for the most part. And all that is pretty good on television, basically, is coming from the UK at the moment. I hope it's going to get better at some point, but frankly, I don't see it. I'm just proud of one thing, the fact that we've got good radio, like Angel Radio and, of course, NPR, which we have over here in the States, which is an absolute lifeline. If you're not familiar with NPR in the UK, NPR is sort of like Radio 4, but with an accent.
Thank you. nothing but rainbows in my sky. I was doing all right till you came by. Had no cause to complain. Life was as sweet as cherry pie. Never noticed the rain till you came by. But now, whenever you're away, can't sleep nights, suffer all the day. I just sit and wonder if life isn't one big blunder. But when you hold me tight, tingling all through, I feel somehow I was doing all right, but I'm doing better than ever now. Sleep nights, I suffer all the day. I just sit and wonder if life isn't one big blunder. But when you hold me tight, tingling all through, I feel somehow I was doing all right, but I'm doing better than ever now.
Candice Bergen's mum, that was Frances Bergen, and a song called I Was Doing All Right. Where are we? Oh, we're exactly 30 minutes to the end of the programme. It changed just as I said that. So that's got to be an omen, hasn't it? So I'll shut up and you can listen to this.
I think you're so bonza, dinky doy, I do. I dinky doy, I do. I dinky doy, I do.
I think you're so bonza, dinky doy, I do. And bonza means you're okey dokey too.
You're cuddly like a koala bear and cuter than a baby kangaroo. If ever you need me and I'm not there, like a boomerang, I'll come right back to you.
I love you, fair-dinkum, dinky-doy-a-doo. I dinky-doy-a-doo. I dinky-doy-a-doo. I love you, fair-dinkum, dinky-doy-a-doo. Fair-dinkum, I'm so much in love with you.
Baby kangaroo, if ever you need me and I'm not there, like a boomerang, I'll come right back to you.
I love you, fair-dinkum, dinky-doy-a-doo. I dinky-doy-a-doo. I dinky-doy-a-doo. I love you, fair-dinkum, dinky-doy-a-doo. Fair-dinkum, I'm so much in love with you. Diddy-diggity-die. Fair-dinkum, I'm so much in love with you.
goddamn nightmare, don't us?
Well, there you go. I love you, Fair Dinkum, from Danny Kaye. And it just seems somehow right that if you're going to say Fair Dinkum, I have to play something from Australia, right?
The water is wide, I can't cross over. The love I'm in, and I know not how I sink or swim.
Seekers, and it's weird. I still can't talk about Judith Durham's death. It's been a little while now, but it still makes me tear up just to think about it. See, I'm doing it already. I really shouldn't have mentioned it.
Somewhere, someday, together, wait and see. Oh, by the way, this time the dream's on me. You
girl, take my hand, and you'll look at me adoringly. But as things stand, this time the dream's on me. It would be fun to be certain that I'm the one, to know that I at last supply the shoulder you cry upon, to see you through till you're everything you want to be. It can't be true, but this time the dream's on me. To see you through till you're everything you want to be. It can't be true, but this time the dream's on.
That's the wonderful Tony Bennett, and this time the dream's on me. I mentioned earlier on that Brad is out in the wilds of Canada looking like Bear Grylls. I got a message from Perry. Morning, Perry. I hope you are well. Yes, I do remember you. You were another person that chose an album of the week for us a little while ago. And you live out in Canada as well, if memory serves me correctly. I'm just trying to see if I can spot exactly where that is. Let me have a look through it. There we go. Perry in Winkler. Perry in Winkler, Manitoba. There you go. I got there eventually. And Perry just wants to confirm that they are indeed having snow. So Brad's going to offer a summer holiday, and he's run into winter weather. I think you should get back to Chicago, Brad, if you're listening. I think the weather there is just absolutely glorious at the moment. Tony in Liverpool, very good morning to you. You would like me to play this for you.
Stay home and love me, my Liverpool.
When I go out walking, I hear people talking, school children playing. I know what they're saying. They're saying you'll leave me, that you will.
Other girls do. Why must my poor heart keep following you? Stay home and love me, my Liverpool.
The sounds from the river.
keeps telling me ever that I should forget you, like I'd never met you. Tell me the song of love was never more wrong, love. Say
don't you behave just like other girls do. Why must my poor heart keep following you? Stay home and love me, my Liverpool.
Very nice too. That was the Hennesses and Liverpool Lou, and we played that for Tony in Liverpool because Tony asked for it. It's as simple as that. We aim to please here on Beagle at Night. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that I should tell you that's been happening recently, but thankfully, for the most part, it's all been pretty quiet, which, as regular listeners know, that's exactly what I prefer. Got a busy day Thursday, going to go off to the doctor's and make sure that the old ticker is still ticking away at the correct metronome volume and frequency. Apart from that, nothing much on the horizon. Still very busy planning the trip to the UK. I think I've almost done it now, although I may have just had a whole day free up, which is a bit weird. Don't totally know about that, but we'll see what happens. But at the moment, it looks like everything's fallen through, which is fine, because probably I could do with a day off where I do absolutely nothing on that trip. But very busy planning it and got all the cars booked and everything now. All the hotels booked, so I'm just about ready and raring to go. Just got to find the old passport.
Απ' το παραθύρο μου στέλνω ένα, δύο και τρία και τέσσερα φιλιά που φτάνουν στο λιμάνι, ένα και δύο και τρία και τέσσερα πουλιά. Πώς θα θέλα να είχα ένα και δύο και τρία και τέσσερα παιδιά που σαν θα μεγαλώσουν όλα να γίνουν λεβέντες για χάρη του Πειραιά. Όσο κι αν ψάξω δεν βρίσκω άλλο λιμάνι, τρέλει να με έχει κάνει από τον Πειραιά. Όταν βραδιάζει τραγούδια μαραδιάζει και τις φαινές από την πόρτα μου σαν πω δεν υπάρχει κανείς που να μην τον αγαπώ. Και σαν το βράδυ κοιμηθώ, ξέρω πως, ξέρω πως, πως θα τον ονειρευτώ. Πέτρα διαβάζω στο λαιμό και μια χα, και μια χα, και μια χάντρα φυλακτώ. Γιατί τα βράδια καρτερώ στο λιμάνι σαν βγω κάποιον άγνωστο να βρω.
Yeah.
πως θα θέλα να είχα ένα και δύο και τρία και τέσσερα παιδιά.
First trends in the theatre. The nostalgia for the 30s continues. Soon to open in London's West End is yet another Noel Coward revival, Blithe Laughter, starring Celia Backstroke and Albert Runt. Here is an excerpt from the play.
Excited, Charles.
Yes, Fiona. Intoxicatedly, flutteringly, half-thunkingly, passionately excited. And yet, somehow, calm. And you, Fiona?
Yes, I'm calm too. Resignedly, tranquilly, stoically, placidly calm. And yet, somehow, excited.
I know.
I know you know.
I know you know, I know.
Yes, I know. These poignant, bittersweet moments of shared happiness mean more to me than life itself. Who was it said, stolen fruit tastes the sweetest?
It was you just now.
Ah, that's where I heard it.
Oh, Fiona, how I adore these mad, feverish, turbulent, tempestuous moments of tremulous, simmering, volcanic, ungovernable madcap, frenzied, delirious, euphoric bliss. You're so provocatively tantalizing, so piquantly thrilling, so... Oh, but I can't find the words.
I know.
I know you know.
I know you know, I know.
Yes, I know. But I must go now, Fiona. I have my duty to do.
Oh, Charles. Charles, my darling. You look so splendid in your uniform. Yes, please. Please. Go now, before my husband comes back. He would never understand.
And shall I see you again?
Tomorrow morning, at the same time. And I'll have two extra pints, Milkman, and some cottage cheese.
Now, the trend in the theatre is back to the 40s, what is getting to be known as the wasn't it fun when they were dropping bombs on us and we were all half-starving school of drama. Here's an excerpt from one of those war epics, The Hasty Nose, starring Dame Celia Mulstrangler and ageing juvenile Binky Huckaback.
Captain's in there, miss. Second bed along, behind the screen. Don't stay too long, you'll tire him.
Thank you, Doctor. Charles.
You come, Fiona.
I had to come.
I knew you would.
I knew you knew I would.
Yes, I know. I always knew. And yet, I was uncertain. Lip-bitingly, stomach-turningly, heart-flutteringly, eyebrow-raisingly, shoulder-shruggingly uncertain. But still, somehow, sure. And you, Fiona?
I was sure, too. Stiff upper lippedly, teeth grittedly, dog in the mangerly, utterly, utterly sure, and yet somehow uncertain.
I know.
I know you know.
I know you know, I know.
Yes, I know.
You see, that's the wonderful thing about us. It's all unspoken.
Are they looking after you here, Charles?
Yes. The swelling's gone down.
My dear, does it still hurt?
Only when you poke it with your umbrella like that. Fiona, can you take a shock?
I'll try to be brave, Charles.
Look.
Ah!
Shh. pretty sight, is it? Fiona, I've asked them to remove it.
Oh! Why, Charles? Why?
It's no good to me. I want them to take it away. I'd rather not have it at all than have it like this. Oh, it's cold, Fiona. It's cold. Do you understand, Fiona? Do you understand? You understand?
I understand, Charles. There's nothing worse than a cold, hot water bottle.
Nothing new to tell you from Joyce Grenfell, and before that we had Charles and Fiona, of course, the great Betty and Hugh, with from Series 1, Blithe Laughter, and Series 2, In Hospital, Betty Marston and Hugh Padding. And that's just about it for this edition of the program. I'd like to thank you so much for joining me. Believe me, I do not take your company for granted. I really do appreciate you listening. And if you've managed to listen to the whole show, well, quite frankly, you deserve a medal. I'll be back next week, all being well. Never take anything for granted in these days. But from me to you, until we meet again here on Indie Radio, keep well. Have yourselves a good day and a safe day and a good week and a safe week. And may I be the first to wish you a very good morning.
just like a leaf that is blown away, gone with the wind. My romance has flown away. Yesterday's kisses are still on my lips. I had a lifetime of heaven at my fingertips, but now all is gone. Gone is the rapture that thrilled my heart, gone with the wind. The gladness that filled my heart, just like a flame, love burned brightly then became an empty smoke dream that is gone, gone with the wind. Smoke dream that has gone, gone with the wind.